To all who come to this happy place, welcome.
This is the podcast where two friends, Connor.
You are a child's plaything!
And Hank.
You are a sad, strange little man. And you have my pity.
Share their opinions, tips, and stories about anything and everything at Walt Disney World.
Trust me, what's going on?
Get ready, because this is WDW Opinion.
We're in the tower. We are ready for takeoff.
Hello, Opinioneers, and welcome to episode number 66 of WDW Opinion, the podcast where friends talk Disney. We share our Disney World opinions so that you can start planning for and daydreaming about your next perfect Disney vacation. We share our opinions with our blog, podcast, live streams, and more. Visit WDWopinion.com to check out all of our content and to see what we're up to in between episodes. I am your host, Connor Brown, and Mr. Hank Molsky is still spending some quality time with his newborn son, but he did send me over a couple of notes he wanted me to share on this week's episode of the podcast, so I'll be getting to those in just a minute. Before we get into the main segment, there's plenty of news we need to discuss this week. Of course, the main thing that occurred less than a week ago, the opening of Rise of the Resistance in Galaxy's Edge, in Hollywood Studios. I want everyone to take a moment and congratulate me because I've been a very good boy and I haven't watched one single ride-through video of the attraction. No spoilers over here. Hashtag team no spoilers. Apart from a few photos that Disney has been putting out there, I haven't seen a single thing. That's right, I am oh so very proud of myself for that fact. And, I can only assume I am going to be folding faster than a lawn chair in probably mere hours because, well, my willpower is just incredibly weak. But for now, I'm spoiler-free, and it has been very difficult for me not to watch anything because I've seen some tweets, some posts, and articles from people I follow, normal people who have been on the ride, and they have all been blown away by it. One case in point, one of my former coworkers when I worked down in Walt Disney World, he is a coaster junkie. He does all of these trips up and down the United States where in, you know, 2 week time frame, he'll go to like six different amusement parks. He'll ride all the rides, all the roller coasters. He's been abroad to Tokyo Disneyland, which is considered, you know, one of the greatest theme parks in the world, Tokyo Disneyland and Tokyo Disney Sea. He posted the day that Rise of the Resistance opened. He walked off the ride and he said, "This is without a doubt the greatest theme park attraction in the world right now." Coming from him, that's incredibly high praise, and it's just one of many that I've seen so far. So I'm very excited that Rise of the Resistance is living up to expectations, but it has been going through some hiccups in its opening week. They're doing a boarding group thing. So basically, once you go past the turnstiles at Hollywood Studios, you pull out the My Disney Experience app. At that point, you then say, join a boarding group to get on Rise of the Resistance. These boarding groups are basically a comeback time. You'll get a notification that says, hey, your boarding group, let's say it's number 15, is now boarding. Be sure to show up at the queue before this time, and it's usually like an hour or two later. Well, these boarding groups have been basically selling out, I guess you could say, or filling up, rather, minutes after the park has opened. I mean, I've been seeing 30, 20 minutes after the park, you know, quote-unquote, opens, those boarding groups are being gobbled up. So people who come after that, you know, have no chance of getting it. And it's not like, you know, the park is opening at 10 in the morning or something. It's people are being let in, I've heard, you know, at 7 a.m. now, in the couple of days since it has opened. You can't do it with, you can't join a boarding group and you can't even go on Rise of the Resistance with extra magic hours in the morning. But once the official time starts, those boarding passes are gone. And it's basically one ride per day if you do snag one of those boarding groups. So they get booked up very early. And I think it's important to point out that Disney has noticed this. And, you know, they're upset that not a whole lot of people are experiencing the attraction as much as they would like to. In fact, at some points, boarding groups have been turned away because they've just filled up too much and the ride is taking too long and it's going down. Well, I have seen things in the My Disney Experience app where it's saying, unfortunately, we can't accommodate your boarding group. You will receive a FastPass Plus valid tomorrow for any attraction, including Rise of the Resistance, plus a complimentary one-day park hopper ticket. Check your account for more information. That's the kind of Disney customer service you expect to see, but it's also something that shouldn't be occurring. It's unfortunate because let's say, you know, you just have the one day and you wanted to ride Rise of the Resistance. Well, you weren't able to. Okay, Disney's going to give you a one-day complimentary park hopper, but you're headed out that night. It's not a perfect system. I think it's incredible what Disney is doing, you know, to accommodate those people and to have a make good, but give it some time. And I think all of these bugs will work themselves out, because a bigger thing is the downtime that it has been experiencing, which is causing these boarding groups to get delayed and pushed back further and further and further. This is a very complex ride system. I know that there are a lot of moving parts, a lot of different elements. So let's all, you know, take a breather, because some of these downtimes are to be expected. It's going to take a little bit to get everyone up to speed on how to board, on the process involved with that. Not just guests, but also the cast members there. The operating systems are going to have to, you know, get tweaked. It's a trial by fire, and you really can't judge anything off of its first week fully. But with all that said, I think people are still blown away when they are able to experience the ride. So that's very, very cool. And the opening of this attraction is not the only news we got this week. There was a media preview of the ride on Tuesday, and several announcements were made during it. Most are just updates on things we already know, but they are worth mentioning here. First up, we have an opening date officially for Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. It will be opening March 4th, 2020 at Disney's Hollywood Studios. Very cool to see that. It's interesting because I think last year when we had our episode, what we're looking forward to in 2019, I said, I'm looking forward to Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. This was something that was originally supposed to open in fall of 2019, but it's been pushed all the way to March. They've clearly run into some technical difficulties, but excited to see that they have an official opening date of March 4th, 2020. Hopefully they hit that. Star Wars : Galactic Star Cruisers, also known as the Star Wars Hotel. Well, we have now been informed that that will be opening in 2021. Those are the only updates on that front, but we have a couple more years before that hotel comes online. Remy's Ratatouille Adventure has been confirmed now, will open summer 2020, official opening date to be announced at a later time. And of course, this is the duplicate attraction. One is already in Disneyland Paris, but this is coming to the France Pavilion at Epcot and will be opening summer 2020. Mickey Shorts Theater in Disney's Hollywood Studios is going to be an all-new theater that will show an original short film in the style of the popular Disney Channel animated series Mickey Mouse. This is the new style of Mickey that you might have seen on lately on the Magical Express coming from the airport or going to the airport, but this is also the style of Mickey Mouse cartoon that Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway will be based off of. So this is going to be kind of next to Frozen sing-along, from what I'm gathering, where Trials of the Temple were for Star Wars, something like that, or whatever it was. This will be taking over that area, and it is going to open in March of 2020 as well, which is good, because I think a lot of people are going to go on Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway and say, wow, Mickey looks different, or wow, what kind of style is that? And then they can go right next door to the Mickey Shorts Theater, watch those and see, oh, they've been doing, you know, these short cartoons in that style. It makes more sense. It kind of connects the dots for people who have not seen those. If you haven't seen those, you can check them all out on Disney Plus. They are very, very fun. So I really am looking forward to both of those things. Coming to World Showcase is Disney's DuckTales World Showcase Adventure, coming to Epcot. The Disney release says, you're invited to join Scrooge, McDuck, Donald, Launchpad, Webby, and the nephews in search of priceless treasures. Using the Play Disney Parks mobile app, guests can take a trip around World Showcase, discovering exotic destinations, exciting mysteries, and maybe even a few thieves, villains, and supernatural guardians of ancient artifacts. That is interesting. No date on when it is going to debut, but we can only assume that it's going to be basically replacing the Phibius and Ferb, the Agent P World Showcase Adventure. But cool that, you know, you'll be able to use the Play Disney Parks mobile app, which is different from the My Disney Experience app, but you should download that anyway. You know, I remember when the Kim Possible one started at World Showcase, you'd basically have to go to a stall, rent like a mobile flip phone, and that's how you interacted with the game. Now, you know, it's going to be all app-based, which is cool as well. Three new films will be debuting January 17th of 2020. We've already heard about these films, but now we are getting confirmed dates of January 17th, 2020, almost a month away. Awesome Planet in the Land Pavilion showcases the Earth's beauty and diversity in a 10-minute film featuring spectacular imagery, in-theater effects, and an original music score from Academy Award-winning composer Stephen Price. Where that is located is when you walk into the land on that top floor. Hang to the right, it's where Circle of Life used to be. So that's going to be in that theater. Beauty and the Beast Sing-Along in the France Pavilion is directed and produced by Don Hahn, who is a producer of the animated and live-action Beauty and the Beast films. And this is going to invite guests to participate in a twist on a tale as old as time. It also features narration from Angela Lansbury, who played Mrs. Potts in the original film. The new sing-along will run in rotation with Impressions de France, which will receive an upgrade to 4K projections. So I'm excited to see the upgrade to Impressions de France and the Beauty and the Beast sing-along in the France Pavilion. And then Canada Far and Wide in Circle Vision 360 in the Canada Pavilion is an update to the previous O Canada. It's a film with new scenes, a new musical score by a Canadian composer, Andrew Lockington. And here's where I'm really excited. There's a new narration by Academy Award-winning actors Catherine O'Hara and Eugene Levy. That is going to be awesome. Those two actors are very, very funny. If you've ever seen like Best in Show or Mighty Wind or Waiting for Guffman, those are the two characters that are... actors are in all of those movies, so that's going to be fun. Space 220 Restaurant debuts this winter, so we're getting a season. We're not getting a specific date yet, though, but Space 220 is the new table service restaurant at Epcot next to Mission Space. When you enter the restaurant, you'll step into a special space elevator that will take you 220 miles above the Earth's surface and offer incredible celestial views. So that will be opening in the coming months. Regal Eagle Smokehouse, Craft Drops, and Barbecue. We have talked about this before. Didn't get too much new information other than it's kind of an artist rendering. And basically it's saying that it'll open this winter at the American Adventure in Epcot, serving classic barbecue, home-style craft brews. Regal Eagle will celebrate American backyard barbecue with flavors from different regions around the United States. Artist rendering looks cool. There's a lot of outside stuff. There's a big smoker, which is cool. You know, it's going to be fresh barbecue. So looking forward to that. And then Roundup Rodeo Barbecue Restaurant, that is a mouthful, is coming to Toy Story Land at Disney's Hollywood Studios, and it is coming in 2020. So next year, it's going to invite you to a rootin' tootin' rodeo right in Nandy's backyard. This immersive restaurant will provide yet another unique, fun, family-friendly dining experience that could only be had in Toy Story Land. Not sure if it's going to be... Oh, this will be a sit-down restaurant, and it looks like it's going to be kind of towards the main entrance of Toy Story Land. So that's good. I love Toy Story Land. It needs another element. Hopefully this restaurant can provide that additional element. And, you know, people are just, more and more people are just going to be going to Hollywood studios with Galaxy's Edge, with Rise of the Resistance, with Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. So these new additions there, the new additions coming to Epcot are very, very welcomed for sure. Hank had a few things he wanted me to share with all of you fine folks. He said, I have no willpower. I immediately watched the first ride video I could of Rise of the Resistance. I will be able to hold off on all the pre-prisoner stuff, though, watching that. I, of course, have some willpower. So when he comes to pre-prisoner stuff that he's talking about, I have no idea what he means because I have willpower. He also says, how insanely nice do those Riviera bathrooms look? We got some new updated photos of the Riviera Resort. Bathrooms do look nice. Hank is a bathroom connoisseur. I will say there was something that came from the Riviera Resort, a mosaic, and it's taking shape from Rapunzel from Tangled, the lantern scene. The mosaic looks very, very cool. It'll be in the lobby entrance sort of area, or going towards the Skyliner when you're there. There's a post over on the Disney Parks blog. Very cool to see that. And there's a bunch of other, you know, little scenes in there. They said more than 1 million hand-cut tiles were laid by hand to create this stunning work of art that rises 20 feet in the air and is joined at the ceiling by a shared mosaic sky. So there you go, something to explore when Disney's Riviera Resort opens in just a few days now. Hank also said, did you see some people doing the math on Rise of the Resistance's hourly capacity? It's likely in the range of 1,000 to 1,200 an hour range. He said, woof. I don't know if he means if that's good or bad, what he thinks, but overall, it's a pretty average ride capacity, I would say. Space Mountain is 2,000, so that's a big one. Big Thunder Mountain, 1,500, meaning they can accommodate up to 1,500 people an hour. Slower things like Peter Pan's Flight, Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin, only 800, but Omni Mover, constantly moving things that have a lot more cars and are a lot longer in space. Haunted Mansion and Pirates of the Caribbean. Haunted Mansion can accommodate up to 3,200 people an hour. Pirates of the Caribbean, 2,600. So, you know, you can kind of chalk this up to be in the realm of a little bit less than your average roller coaster. So not a whole lot. Lines are definitely going to be long. That is something to keep in mind when it comes to that. Well, there you have it. It has been a big week in Disney World news. That is for sure. Everything is just building to 2021 and that 50th anniversary of Walt Disney World. And even with Galaxy's Edge, you know, fully opened now with Rise of the Resistance, there's still so much more to come elsewhere in the Disney World theme parks, in the Disney World property. And I'm very excited for all of that. All right, let's get into our main segment this week. And it's actually part two of our Disney Vacation Club discussion. That's right, my mom and dad are back on the show as we wrap up this almost intro-like series to DVC. In this particular episode, we're going to be diving into the process of booking resorts and some of the rules you'll have to abide by in order to make reservations and whatnot. Then we share some of the room layouts of various resorts, what they look like. We also talk about how you might vacation differently once you become a DVC member, and we share some alternative ways to becoming a member and how these options can potentially be much more affordable and save you money of sorts. Then we wrap up the show by saying what it has meant to us being DVC members. And on that front, you will definitely want to stick around to the very end because your boy here, well, I get very emotional at the end of this episode, so you don't want to miss that. With all that said, let's get into the segment. More oblong, sort of, right. like more rectangle, I should say. It was heavy, and it listed every single resort you could stay at on the DVC, It listed every single room accommodation there, and then it listed every single season. Right. So this is where Disney is able to kind of tweak the points, like how many points you can use here and there. The time where you're going to use the most points are whatever they call it. They have so many different terms, like adventure season or the it's peak season.
Exactly.
Peak That's season is Christmas. Christmas and New Year's. That's the time where, for the most part, you're going to be spending the most points. But basically, think about this. If it's an off time, less points. Studio is going to have the least amount of points. One bedroom more, two bedroom more.
Sunday through Thursday.
Sunday through Thursday, less points. The weekend, more points. Animal Kingdom, more points than Saratoga Springs.
Right. So how it works is let's say you own 200 points. So you have a use year. So your use year perhaps begins like ours, beginning in February. So your use year starts. So from that use year to the end of that use year, you have 200 points that you can use. And you're allowed to book your home resort within the first 11 months. Or if you want a resort that's not your home resort, you have to wait until the 7-month mark to give the people the opportunity who actually own at that resort first chance of getting a room.
Basically, your use year is just a way for you to track your points, right?
Right.
We have a February use year,
right?
Meaning from February of 2020 until February of 2021, we have to use all of our points. Or there's a certain date where we can bank points.
Right.
Bank points basically means, hey, I'm not going to use these points. Can I bank them to next year? There's a date. It's not the February 1st, like your use year.
Right.
It's a date, and it'll change depending upon your use year. But what you're able to do is, let's say you do have a certain amount of points, but man, I really need more points. I'm taking a big group down. I want to go down for a lot of days. I want to stay top of the level, you know, at Bay Lake. How am I going to do this? Well, let's say you're not going until next year. If you have points from this year right now, you can bank them.
Right.
And when you bank points, you have to use them the next year. This isn't like AT&T rollover minutes.
Right.
You know,
no,
they
no.
1 year and then you're done. And then you can also borrow points from the next year.
Right.
1 year in advance, but that's it. That's it. So essentially, if you play your cards right, if you only have 100 points that you bought, if you are willing to not, you know, go down for like 3 years or whatever.
Right. Once in a 3 year period.
You can accumulate 300 points and go all out.
Right.
Go all out.
Yep.
Which is very cool. And Disney actually does something. I don't know if you guys knew this. Did you know that Disney will, if you hit a certain point, like let's say you want to stay and it's going to cost you 100 points, but you only have 90. Do you know that Disney will rent you some points?
I think we did know that. I don't think we've ever had to use it.
No, we've never. It's just, it's nice to know. And basically it's like, I think it's $20 a point.
Okay.
And they'll only loan you up to 24.
Right.
And it's one-time use. You can't, don't have those points forever now.
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah. I think, didn't we actually have to do that? Like, didn't we have to stay once because we got snowed?
Oh, yeah.
We did get snowed.
I think we did have to do something like that because I think we rarely use. See, you rarely use all of your points up to the exact number.
Yeah.
So you're always rolling over, 22 points to next year.
In a perfect world.
Or borrowing 15 from the next year.
In a perfect world, every day would be a multiple of five number.
Right.
Right. But it isn't. You have an 18 here. You have a 22 here.
Right.
Something like that.
Right.
But then there are also other ways to rent points outside of Disney. And that's something where if you do want to stay in a villa, but you don't want to pay for the room, like through Disney, you want to test out the DVC waters, rent through, just type in, DVC rentals or whatever. And there are companies out there that basically work with people. Like if we have extra points and we just want to rent them out, it's a whole third party thing that you can do, and it'll be a lot cheaper than what Disney pays. And that's a topic for another day, though. That's a,
yes.
That's a
you know, because when thing. when you book your rooms with your points, and then, you know, something comes up and a month into before the trip, you can't go, Disney's not just going to give you your points back. They have rules. You have to pay attention to the rules, how it all works. But yes, we, you know, if something like that happens.
But you can also give them to people.
Correct. Right.
I mean, like when you go on your own and you're using our points or whatever, mom just makes the thing and puts your name on it.
Yeah.
But it could be anybody. I mean, it doesn't even have to be a family member. We could do that for anybody. So, you know, if your Uncle Charlie wants to go or something like that, you can do that.
Now, we're not offering.
No,
so
no,
don't start calling
Connor. God, no. It ain't going to happen.
We like our points.
Not with these two.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Back off, opinioners.
Exactly.
Those are our points. Now, we did mention briefly the 11th month versus 7th month. So, when you own at a place, we own at Saratoga Springs, we can book 11 months out.
Yes.
11 months out. So, right now, we're recording this in October. We can book September of 2020.
Right. Yep. When you're on the website, they tell you exactly what date. The website's pretty doggone good, actually.
And then, compared to owning at Saratoga Springs, let's say, you know, we really want to stay at Boardwalk. Well, we can only start booking at Boardwalk 7 months out. And mom, like you said, the reason for that is to give the people that own at the resort the first chance to get their reservations in, have them, you know, all taken care of, which is great. But, you know, at places like Grand Californian out in Disneyland, when there's only 70 rooms, it's difficult.
Yes.
It's difficult to get that. Now, there are people out there. Let's talk about your friend at Nomad Lounge. You just met a guy.
Right.
There are crazy people out there.
They own a lot of points.
How many points did he own? Do you remember?
He had 1,800 points.
1,800 points.
Yes. All with the same use here. They owned many from many different resorts, but all the same use here, because I think it would take a lot of organization if you had resorts with different use years. It would be quite complicated.
You can do it. There's a lot of moving parts.
You're right.
Working with DVC member services a lot. Like if you had a use year where all your points from this contract had to be, and you think about it like a property, right? I got a house here, but I also have a house here. And I got, you know, this is due on this date, this is due on this date. So it's difficult. It can be done. But one thing to keep in mind is, like that guy, Mr. 1800 points, if you buy a contract at Saratoga Springs, and then you also buy a contract at, I'm just going to say, Riviera, those points don't go together.
Right.
So you can't say, all right, I'm 11 months out, I'm using all my points that I own to book at Riviera. No. You can only book... You can only book your Riviera points 11 months out at Riviera. You can't take your Saratoga Springs and book at Riviera 11 months out. You got to wait 7 months to use your Saratoga Springs points there.
You have, when you make a reservation, you have to, you know, at a home resort, so you're getting that benefit. You have to have all of the points for that vacation in that, you know, you can't even
in that contract.
You can't even borrow 10 points from your other one
no.
to have it go. You know, it has to all be in that one.
Yeah. Which is good. I mean, it should protect the people that own there because they physically own there.
Right.
But if you happen to be 7 months out and you call or you go online and you find some availability that you want, you can use all your points because it doesn't matter. You're at the 7 month point now.
And the cool thing is that that's a big benefit owning at a resort that's awesome. how many times have we been completely shut out of wanting to stay somewhere else?
Like, there have been times.
There have been times, yes. But the fact that we own at Saratoga is also good because Saratoga is always open.
Right.
There's always so many
because
rooms
it's such
there.
A big resort.
Because it's gigantic.
Yes.
Which is great. And that's awesome. But it's also kind of like now, especially with Disney Springs, if we are at that point where we're like, oh, shoot, we got shut out at Boardwalk. Whatever. We're staying at Saratoga. We're happy.
Right.
There's still plenty of potential. You can hear Daisy in the background. Yes, Daisy the dog. She really likes her points discussion, her home resort. It's cool just because there's plenty of opportunities to stay at other places.
Yes.
Yeah, we've stayed everywhere we wanted to.
Yeah.
It's a process. It's a learning process. When you buy into DVC, there are things you have to learn to make it all work, but it's very doable. And member services helps you along the way figuring it out. Doesn't mean every now and then we don't find out something new like, oh, I didn't know we could do that.
Yes.
Yeah. And by the way, I want to give a shout out to Mr. 1800 Points. They were a great group at that Nomad Lounge, and some of them may be opinioneers.
Yeah,
they all met each other on a DVC Facebook post.
Exactly,
and they all met there to go on a bar crawl. They had never met each other before.
Right, they had a great time, and they were a great group that we kind of joined.
These are Disney's people, like DVC. Disney's people.
They are true believers. Right.
Yeah,
I mean, 1800 points is. Do the math, people. Right?
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot.
You can use points, too, by the way, on cruises.
So that's a good thing to bring up. You can use, when you're a DVC member and you've bought through Disney, you can use your points on Disney Cruises, on Adventures by Disney. They have a concierge collection, which has some resorts around the world
right.
that are very well known. And you can also use the Disney collection. The Disney collection is like staying at a Disney resort that isn't a DVC
right.
villa.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, every single one of those, complete waste of your points. Complete waste
for
of
us,
your points.
Probably, for us, yeah.
Probably, yes.
But even if you have 1,800 points, it's so many points for a cruise or something like that. It's nice that Disney offers it, but there's one reason you're using these points and it's staying.
I think a one-week cruise starts at 600 points.
Which
that's ridiculous. That's a lot of points.
Yeah. You know?
The 1800 point guy said that he goes on cruises all the time. I think he said they've been on 24 cruises.
Yeah.
He says he never uses points on a cruise. He's got 1800 points. He never uses on a cruise. He rents them. He rents them back. And the cash he gets by renting his points out to other people pays for the cruise and pocket money for him on the boat.
So let's talk about, you know, affording this sort of thing.
Okay.
Which is something where we talk about renting points and stuff like that. And the way that you have to think about this isn't, I'm going to Disney World, my trip costs $5,000. Here, Disney, here's $5,000. Okay, great. You'll never see that money ever again. This is a lot of money, mm-hmm. becoming a DVC member. But, you know, for the most part, it is an investment. It's an investment in your future vacations, for the most part. Like, you're doing this to...
I wouldn't say it's an investment. What I would say is it's you're prepaying your vacations for the next 50 years.
Sure.
Or 42 years. It's all, that part is all paid for. You're just paying like the maintenance and the other thing every year. It's like taxes, you know? I mean.
No, sure.
But everything else is paid for and you've already done it.
But if it comes to it and you're in a pinch, you can sell it.
You're right. You are correct.
Mm-hmm. You can sell it and you can get money.
And as opposed to your typical timeshare, it does have a value.
Yes.
People will pay for this.
Yes.
Yeah.
And those that it goes up for mm-hmm. not a huge amount, but it can go up. So, you know, theoretically you could make money off of this. I mean, this isn't a cap, but you're not making a business off of this or anything, but it's.
But as you said, you can make a significant amount of money because remember, we bought our points at $100 a piece. Mm-hmm. Points are currently going for $188. I could sell my points for $150 a point and I'd make a killing.
But we're not.
No. I'm just saying.
Let's make that clear.
Because the $100 points buy you the same amount as the $188 points do. Yes. So if I have the same points and I'm short in the market, you know, I mean.
So let's talk about resale. There is another way to get into the vacation club. And there's a bunch of different components to it and stuff, but basically right now, and we said at the beginning of the show, if you buy right from DVC, they're going to push two resorts on you. They're going to push Riviera, which is opening in a couple of months, and they're going to push Aulani in Hawaii. And the reason they're going to push those two is because those are the ones that have availability. Those are the ones that they don't consider sold out.
Right.
So there's still points to be bought there. So when you buy into DVC right now through Disney, for the most part, they're going to say, pick one of these two places. And again, you're going to have to buy 100 points to start with DVC. There's another way to get in. And you can, so if we're currently, we're DVC members, if there are ways to wait list at other resorts. And the way that that works is basically someone has a contract and they say, hey, I don't want this anymore. And they sell it back to Disney.
Right.
Disney will then go say, hey, you're on a wait list for Boardwalk. We have this contract that we're buying back for 50 points. Do you want to buy it? And we could say, yeah.
Right. That's what we did. How when we decided to add on points, we contacted our DVC guy and said, we are looking to add on 50 more points at Saratoga. And he said, okay, do you want to keep the same use year? And we said, yes. So then we kind of got on his list and were contacted when, sure enough, a contract that would allow us to have 50 points at our use year came available and we added on. It ends up being two separate contracts. So when we, you know, it's not that big a deal. When you book your resort, it's like, oh, which one are you going to take 30 points from? But yes, that's a way that you can add on. And there are benefits if you do it through a DVC.
And let's say you don't want to start right now with Disney themselves. You don't want the 100 points. You don't want to buy into Riviera. You don't want to go through them. You can do a resale through a third party.
Yeah, there is a secondary market that you can buy from. And I think when you do, that Disney has the right to...
they have the right of first refusal.
Yeah, they can just say, no, we're going to buy those. Get out of here.
Basically, how it works is people have a contract, right? And for whatever reason, they say, I want to get rid of this contract. I want to get rid of this contract. They go to a third party and they say, hey, do you have a buyer for this? They say, absolutely. We got this buyer right here. Disney will then get right of first refusal, meaning if they see, you know, and it works like you're buying anything else. It's X amount of these points and the seller is saying, I'll sell it for this price. And the buyer could say, okay, I'll buy it for that price. Disney sees that and they see that price point. They could easily say, no, we're buying that. And they do that. And I've heard this happens a lot. And the time frame, the when they do it most often is when they're seeing points super, super, super low.
Right.
Because one, they want those points back so that they can sell them. But two, they want to keep a general price point throughout the market. They want to try to control the price. But if Disney says, good to go, you can buy that. You can buy it through resale. So there's a couple of things that happen when you buy resale, non through Disney. First off, you don't have to buy 100 points. You can start with however many points you want.
Right.
You probably want to look around and see like, oh yeah, 18 points isn't going to get me anything. I should probably start with more than that.
Right.
But when you resale, you can't get, and you buy a resale, you can't get Adventures by Disney. You can't get the Concierge Collection. You can't get the Disney Collection. You also, and this is a big one, whatever, when you buy in right now, you only have access to the 14 resorts that are up and running right now. Mm-hmm. Resorts that open in the future, you can't stay there. That's with right. your resale.
If you're buying a resale, correct.
So right now you could buy in, and when Riviera opens, you can't stay there with your resale points. You can't stay there at Reflections when Reflections opens as well.
You don't get a blue card.
And you don't get a blue card.
Right.
The blue card basically just means you get all of the benefits of a DVC member.
And I think the difference between that is when you buy resale, you're buying a contract, but you're not becoming a member.
Right.
So you can't go, I don't believe you can get up to the top of the World Lounge, you know, at Bay Lake. And there's other places that you have to use your card. You don't get the discounts. I don't think you get the 20% off whenever, you know, the various restaurants or the 10% here. And you don't get any of that.
You don't get the discounted annual pass.
You don't get the member events.
Right. You don't get the member.
Right, mm-hmm. right. You're just like renting. You're subletting somebody's points, you know.
So when I say all that, do you guys think it would be worth it to go that route?
It would depend on how much money you're saving, but I think the better route would be to buy the 100 points from Disney directly, or to go through the Disney resale market. Go through DVC for your first contract. And then you get the blue card. You're a member. You get all the benefits. And then if you want to add other points and you find them cheaper on the secondary market, go ahead. You already have the other good stuff.
And
you can add those points to your points for your vacations, but I think that's the way around it. I think they're going to fix that somehow. They're going to say that. You know, that somehow Disney is going to make it so you can't do that.
Just
buy the minimum amount of points with them to get the card and all of the benefits. And then buy, you know, like, say you want 400 points. You could theoretically go get the 100 through Disney and then go buy 300 on the resale market for less money. And you have all the benefits because you bought the card. I think Disney eventually is going to say something like, you can't have more secondary market resale points than your original points or your actual DVC membership points.
Do you think it's worth it? Here's something. I just pulled up a website that sells resales. And right now, I could get the Boardwalk Villas for $125 a point. I could get 150 points on this contract for $18,750.
How many years are left on that contract?
1950 until 2054, right?
For us,
something like that.
Yeah.
But is that?
I would jump on that with both feet. If you want to buy a Disney a DVC membership, that's a great deal.
Well, that's not a DVC membership. That's on the other market. He's saying
this is on that other secondary market.
Right.
So you don't get a blue card with this.
Right.
You get 150 points. For a grand less, you get 50 extra points for a grand less than if you were to buy it through Disney right now. You'll get less years as well, but is a blue card and everything you get with it worth going 100 points all in with Disney to start?
I think that, you know, I don't know enough about these other companies that are selling them, so I'm not going to say anything negative about them, but I think that I put my faith in Disney and I trust buying through Disney And I don't feel like we're going to get, you know, screwed out of things because it's Disney. And I would be concerned if it's, you know, if it's not Disney.
It's kind of like, you know, when you wreck your car and they want to put on aftermarket parts. Mm. And you're like, no, I want the real parts, you know. And I don't know. That might just be naivete. It might just be.
It might just be that
we. It might just be us saying, hey, we don't do, you know, we don't buy off the street, you know. I mean, but for some people, it may be maybe one, the only way they can do it, or two, they just did the math and they figured that's best for them. And I think that's the most important part. We just do it through Disney because we're loyalists. And it does it cost us money? I don't know. But remember, it's a luxury.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's a vacation.
We want it to be, we don't want to have, we're there and something happens and they say, oh, well, you're not a DVC member. We can't fix that. You know, you have to call some other, you know, part of it of going through Disney is to take all of that off my plate.
And you're when you buy resale, even though you don't buy it through Disney, you're still technically, quote unquote, a member. You have a member login to their portal. Right.
Well, that's because you have to be able to make your reservations and everything.
You but, don't have that blue card.
I don't know. Maybe it's just, I don't know, a prestige thing. I have no idea. But I read a lot of these things, and all these people seem to think that it's you're crazy if you don't have the, if you haven't don't have the blue card and all the benefits that come with it. Now, do we use all the benefits that come with it? I don't know. I don't think so. But we do get, you know, every time you show the card, you get 10% off everything. Basically,
and I think that maybe some of your listeners are out there who have bought, you know, not from Disney and can weigh in, but you know, it's probably just it's a world that we glanced at, and I'm sorry, you know, something we glanced at, looked at a little bit when we were going to add on, and just decided it's not worth the unknown for us.
Yeah.
So we just went with Disney, what we knew.
And we bought a relatively small, I mean, our second contract, relatively small. You know, we just added it because we knew how many we used, and we found ourselves a little bit short, as you know. Mm-hmm. So we just got that for a cushion more than anything else. And so it wasn't, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars, where if it was, maybe we would have looked into, you know, that's a significant difference. You know?
Sorry, Connor.
Watching my videos while we're recording.
I was showing Daisy.
I think it's just I don't know that there's any you know any real difference between them, but like anything, you know, buying anything, do your research, do the due diligence, do your math, and see what works for you. Put it this way: no matter how you buy the points, you're going to use them, and you're going to have the exact same vacation as the people with the blue cards have. You know, except for a couple little things, like you want to go to the Top of the World Lounge, you want to watch fireworks at wherever and have a drink and that kind of stuff. Well, you can't do that, yeah. You know, but you can go over to the Contemporary and go up to the lounge there and do the same thing, you
right.
know.
Yeah.
But other little things, you know, but it's nothing big. It's just part of the club.
And I think too, also keep in mind, if you are considering doing this, there's times where DVC has incentives. Mm-hmm. So back to our friend at Nomad Lounge, they only add on when they're on a cruise, because he said that's where you get the best incentives is when you're on the cruise. We will get mailings. And by the way, DVC's mailings to you are, of course, extremely creative. Whenever they send you a mailing for a new resort or whatever, and they'll say, add on X amount of points and you get this, you know. So there'll be different incentives. So if you're considering buying through Disney, definitely wait until there's an incentive that you can take advantage of too.
Whether it's you're starting fresh or adding on, you know,
right.
I think each step along the way, you gotta think about what you want, right? If you're dipping your toe in the water for the very first time, you're about to take the plunge, you at that point have to say, what do I want to do? Do I want to start with Disney or do I want to go resale? Do I want to try and get something more? Do I want to try and get something less on the resale market? Point wise, what do I do? Once you become a member, or once you become, you know, a member through resale and you want to add on more points, you got to reevaluate again. You got to say, do I want to go through Disney?
Right.
Or do I want to add on through resale again or for the first time or whatever it is? It's all about you. I don't think the perks push it all the way to the, you got to go through Disney.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
The big thing about Disney Vacation Club is its flexibility, right? Picking what resort you want to stay, when you want to stay, in what room. You use your points how you want to use your points. Everyone vacations differently. And because of that, everyone also buys differently. Mm-hmm. So Disney's pretty rigid when you get in for the first time. But if you're looking at other avenues, you can do that.
Yeah,
but it's going to be different for every single one of you. And then we kind of talked about it a little bit, but, you know, if you buy through Disney, you don't have to put, you know, all that moolah down straight up. They'll work with you to refinance it.
No, they'll finance it. I think it's like a 5-year finance or something. But, you know, if you're buying 100 points, you're paying, you know, say $20,000. It's a car payment.
Yeah.
For like the same amount of time, for like 5 years. It's a 5-year car note.
Yeah.
You know, a few hundred bucks a month, whatever it is, if that's how you want to do it.
We're not encouraging you to do it that way.
No. I think most people do, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But also you can prepay. I believe there's no prepayment penalty. So like if, you know, you got to put Christmas bonus and you decide, you know what, I'm going to toss a grand towards that, you can do that too. And, you know, a lot of people, I've seen them say, I paid my contract off 2 years early or something like that, you know. So clearly there's no prepayment penalty or anything like that.
Yeah. Just make sure you know what that annual fee is too. So because you know, you have to budget for that.
Yeah, because that bill comes right after Christmas.
Yeah.
Every year in January.
Those annual dues fees.
Yes. And again, it's not a huge amount. Now, for the 1,800 point guy, I did a calculation. I think he pays somewhere between $8,000 and $10,000 a year in dues.
Mm.
Because it's 1,800 points.
But you know, that's how you, but like you were saying, renting those points through another third party and saying, this is how a renting situation works. You go to a third party and you say, I got 50 points I'm not going to use this year. Do you want to try and find someone? They'll be like, yep, absolutely. They'll go to someone looking for a vacation who's put in a request for, I'm going to go stay at Saratoga for these days during these days, for these nights during these days. They'll calculate and say, okay, we need that many points. Okay, this guy, can you book X, Y, and Z with these parties, with these people? You book that, and then what happens is the person looking for the vacation pays the third party takes their cut, and then they give it to you.
Right.
So that's a way to, you work into it where, okay, I can get away with renting 50 points every year.
Well, DVC will do that.
And DVC will do that too. And man, those 50 points, I can use that money for my annual fee.
Right.
Well, that's what this guy said. He said that either last year or a year, or, you know, one of the recent years, he said, I've rented off so many points. I got a check for like almost $10,000 one year.
Yeah.
And in my mind, it was like, oh, good. So you paid your dues.
But
I mean, that's ridiculous. I've never heard of anybody who has, you know, over 1,000 points.
I've heard
people say 400, 600. And I'm like, whoa. That's significant.
I've seen some when I worked at Beach Club, because I worked at front desk, so I was checking in all these people. There were a lot, and there were a lot of people who, you know, what they like to do is they like to own everywhere that they can.
Mm-hmm. Because having that 11-month window.
More power to them. I've heard of people buying contracts at Boardwalk so that they can book 11 months out for food and wine.
It's
what they want to do specifically, which is great. I think in wrapping up, because there's been a ton of discussions and we could go on for more and more and more, but this is a great kind of general overview and an overview that will explain to you what DVC is and, you know, how you go about getting started with it and how you go about using your points. This is a great kind of of 101, you know, for people who are interested. But when we think about all the incredible vacations that we have taken over the years, has this been worth it in your eyes? And Mom, I'll start with you.
Well, you already know my answer. It is 100% yes, it's been worth it. We've had, you know, I'm all about making memories, and we have made tons of memories with using our DVC. We have. It's been great. Timothy?
From a strictly monetary standpoint, it's paid for itself. It paid for itself within the first couple of years, to be honest with you. First, I would say the first 5 or 6 years we had it, I paid off. I saved more than I paid. Mm-hmm. And now it's at the point where, you know, like I said before, our $1,200 or whatever we pay every year, that's ridiculous. We stay 12 days minimum mm-hmm. a year. We're paying less than $100 a night to stay at a fantastic place, in a fantastic room, in a fantastic place with all the, you know, all the amenities. So yeah, I have no second thoughts or anything about what we did.
How about you, Connor? We've done this?
It served me well.
It has.
It has served the opinioneers out there well, too.
You're all welcome.
Yeah. This is how I've cultivated my knowledge and my passion.
We did not realize we were going to be creating a monster when we purchased DVC, Connor Brown, but we sure are glad we did.
I just got hit with something. It has been awesome. Sorry.
Okay. Are you still on?
Yeah.
We've made a ton of memories.
Yep.
And we've got a whole bunch more to go.
Yep. It has been really, really cool. And I think you can see it with me, obviously, which is crazy. It's just so cool because, you know, you think about going to Disney and stuff and like, oh, I want to go on all these rides. I want to do this. I want to see all these new stuff. But it is home, you know, because of that reason. And I'm very
appreciative, I bet.
I am. I'm very, very appreciative. I'm trying to get away from this, obviously, because it's eating me up, but someone who would you say like this isn't for? Like, who are the people that it's not right for Disney Vacation Club? Because it can seem like, oh, I got to do this. But and we're talking it up, and I'm crying because it's so great. But there's got to be a people out there where you would say, Maybe reconsider.
If you really can't afford it, because it's you know, yes, you can finance it, but if you're going to have to really think about it, and you're going to be stretching your budget because of this, then at this particular time in your life, it might not be right for you. Doesn't mean in 5 years it won't be the right thing to do. And, you know, we always say that Disney is our beach. You know, people are like, you're going to Disney again? Well, Disney's our beach. You know, people go to the beach year in, year and out. And if you love it, it's for you. If you think, if you're not sure you're going to want to go every year, every couple of years, it might not be for you.
I don't think there's a group of people that it's not for. Because if you're asking the question, then it's probably for you. Mm-hmm. It's people who are, you know, the ones who gripe all the time about the lines and the this at Disney. Then those people probably shouldn't be there all the time, you know. Do I gripe about things like that? Of course I do. But, but you know the people I'm talking about. You're sitting next to them on the bus or you're here, you know, you're standing in line. And they just gripe about everything. I don't think that's a Disney type of person anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But monetarily, it's a... If you go if you know you're going to go for at least a week every year or a couple of weeks every 2 years, if that's how you do it, then I think you're crazy not to do it. I mean, from a strictly economic standpoint. But if you're not going to do that, then that you might not be the person.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But if you want to go every year or you already are, then you're in their wheelhouse and they're, you're in theirs, you know? So
you know, if you're a Disney person.
Yeah.
And
right.
If you've gotten to this part of this podcast episode, you're probably a Disney person.
Right.
I mean, just do the math. Just see how much you've already paid, you know, on a year, and see what you pay for lodging, and then just amortize it out. Look what you pay, what you get, and if it works for you, do it, because there's a lot of benefits. You know, you're on the property all the time. You get the free Magical Express. You get all that stuff. And if you're going to go anyway, that's kind of what they said to us when we bought it. If you are going to go anyway, then you should do this. And
right.
They're absolutely correct.
If we hadn't done DVC, we would still have been going to Disney. Clearly not as often as we do. But we would have been staying in rooms that were nowhere near the quality. I mean, it's Disney, so it's all good quality. But no, we wouldn't be staying in top-of-the-line, basically, hotels if as we are at DVC. You know, so we haven't roughed it.
If you've stayed off property, I think what really sold it for me was the two times that we stayed at other places.
It was four.
Well, they were all terrible.
Yeah.
And it wasn't terrible places, you know, I mean, there were resorts and everything, but no, it's just such a hassle, you know, having to go to ticketing and transportation, having to go to a bus or whatever. I mean, a shuttle bus, not a Disney bus.
Yeah.
It's coming every once in a while. I remember with you and I, you were, God, 6 years old, 7 years old. And we were sitting on the curb at the ticketing and transportation at 12 o'clock at night, waiting for the hotel bus to come. And I said to myself, I'm never freaking doing this again. You know? And then serendipitously, they plied me with alcohol on a cruise ship. And next thing you know, we're there every 20 minutes.
And the rest is history.
Exactly. And no, I wouldn't change anything. I wouldn't change anything at all. For us, it's been great.
Yeah.
And do your research and maybe it'll be great for you.
Yeah. And that's what it comes to. You know, I said, I was on one other podcast where they said, you know, what's your favorite Disney memory? And I said, I always give two answers. I give you the one you want to hear, which is one, you can go back and listen to that podcast I was on. And then I say, and then I'll give you the one you don't want to hear. And the one you don't want to hear is my favorite Disney memory is the next Disney memory. And the best part about DVC is getting to make those memories for years and years and years and years to come.
Right. Right.
Which is awesome.
Yes, it is.
And hopefully the people out there have thought that this was awesome as well. Mom, recurring guest. Number two, episode went great. Thank you for being here.
You're welcome. I hope we helped you and didn't confuse you more.
Yes, yes. Dad, first time. Jury's still out if we'll be invited back.
Oh, cool. Oh.
But thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
And Daisy is sleeping.
Yes, she is.
I'm sure she'll work her way back into the podcast. Well, there you have it. As you can tell by my waterworks and emotions in this episode, DVC has meant a lot to me. I can honestly say that it has changed my life. I'm so fortunate that my parents, you know, blessed our family with that opportunity to become DVC members. Because on a superficial level, it can just seem like, okay, we got to go visit Disney World many more times than we would if we weren't members, and that's true. But in actuality, being a DVC member has meant so much more than that. It's all the memories that we have been given because of it. It's the times that I've been able to plan trips, which has kept me sane when I wasn't actually in the parks. It's the trips that inspired me to want to work there. And it's trips in subsequent years that encouraged me to start WDW Opinion. Without DVC, I wouldn't be talking to you right now. It has changed my life for the better. And if you're looking, you know, if you're on the fence about this and you can afford to do so, I don't think you should look at DVC from a trip perspective. You should look at it from a memory perspective. I was just watching The Imagineering Story on Disney Plus, and Bob Weiss, who's the current president of Walt Disney Imagineering, said once that he asked John Hench, who is this legendary Imagineer, he said, "What's the purpose of the parks?" John Hench said, "It's simple. It's to not worry. When you're in the theme parks, when you're in Disney World, you're removed from reality." It's, John Hench said, "The purpose is to know it's going to be all right. That whatever's going on in the real world, whatever troubles you're worrying about, you don't have to carry them with you into Disney World, into Disneyland, into any of the Disney parks. It's all about making those memories and leaving the stresses of the real world behind. And that's what a Disney trip is all about. And those are the memories, and those are the things that you just can't put a price tag on. And I'm so incredibly blessed to have those memories. And it's really been because of DVC, which is great. But, you know, that concludes our discussion of DVC for now. If you'd like this series, these two episodes, and there are other DVC topics that you might want us to discuss in the future, let us know, and we'd be happy to come up with some additional content around that. Shoot me an email, Connor, C-O-N-O-R, at wdwopinion.com, and let me know what you thought about this two-part series, and if you want to hear more about DVC in the future. But thank you so very much for listening to this episode of the show. We might be done talking here, but we encourage you to continue that conversation, continue the DVC conversation over on our Opinioneers Facebook page. That's where the WDW Opinion community meets, and you're an Opinioneer just for listening to the show. We want you to connect with your fellow Disney fanatics, so visit wdwopinion.com/opinioneers. That's OPINIONEERS. To join the community. And speaking of this incredible WDW Opinion community that I'm so grateful to be a part of, we want it to continue to grow so we can welcome in more members, more Disney fanatics to this clubhouse. And the best way to grow that community is all about spreading the word. If you think you know someone, anyone who would like the show, then share it with them. The more the merrier, the more people that can enjoy this podcast. And if you do enjoy listening to the show, do me a huge, huge favor. Leave a review of the show over on iTunes. It would mean the world to us if you did. That's another great way for others to help discover the show. You can check out wdwopinion.com/episode66 to learn about how to leave a review as well. If you want to check out all the links we referenced in this episode, head over to that show notes page. Like I said, wdwopinion.com/episode66. You'll see everything we talked about in this episode, and while you're there, you can also check out all of our other content we have on the WDW Opinion blog. If you have a trip coming up and you've got questions about what you want to do and you want help planning it, then email me at Connor, C-O-N-O-R, at wdwopinion.com, and we'll help you plan your next future trip on an episode coming up of the podcast. Just got a couple questions from a couple listeners this past week. Hope to build on that as well. So send in those questions, thoughts, and comments, as we are always thrilled to get them. If you are on social media, follow us at WDW Opinion on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, so you can stay up to date with us in between these podcast episodes. And that is going to do it for us this week. If you liked what you heard today, then you've been listening to the WDW Opinion podcast. But if by chance you didn't like what you heard, then you've been listening to Making Beyonce. I've been Connor Brown, and until next time, I'll see you real soon.